Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon, I have to, you know, I don't like to talk about myself on the podcast or my feelings.
I know you don't.
I like to always maintain complete objectivity because of my PhD in journalism and the time that I spent reporting on the situations across the world.
I can report on you.
But I have to say, we re-caulked my bathtub over the weekend. Oh.
And wait, you did it? You and Katie did it?
Really, Katie did it. I helped.
God, I got to talk to you guys. That's amazing. Well, that shit's not easy, you guys.
No, it was not easy, and it's not done. The caulk is still drying. We don't trust it, so we have been like, look, we're just going to not use the shower for a couple days. So I haven't showered. This is like the longest I haven't showered in my adult life. I've just been washing up in our kitchen sink.
Oh my God. And that sounds really awkward.
I hate it. I'm a Virgo and I like to maintain my cleanliness as much as I can. And I have the privilege to usually do so. And I'm really suffering right now. And I feel disgusting. And I just think you're going to hear that in my voice this episode.
Aww. Poor Kate. How did you guys figure out what kind of caulk to use? Because I feel like there's so many different kinds out there. You just did some research online, re-caulking bathtub.
Yes, we used, there's one by DAP that doesn't, you don't need the caulking gun. It's in a tube that you can just squeeze.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you get this little triangle tool thing that, you know, and you tape off everything so the caulk doesn't get anywhere it's not supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then you're caulking.
The triangle helps you to spread it smoothly. Is that what happens?
Yes.
Nice.
Most of Katie watched about 7,000 YouTube videos about how to do it. And
that's kind of what
usually they just use their finger, but the tool came in handy.
I think you can use your finger if you're like, if you've done it a million times. You're like, I know how to do this, it's fine, but I think the tool's probably good for beginners.
Yep, and sure enough, it looks great, but it's only visual. I haven't been able to use my bathtub.
And is this because you weren't able to contact your landlord about it, or you just feel like...
You know, we try not to ever bring the landlord into any situation around here.
I know what that's like.
We have rent control. Our rent is very cheap, and we don't want anything fouling that up.
Yep.
So we just live off the grid of the landlord.
Oh, to be a Bay Area renter. Man, oh man. That's a common theme right there.
Okay, Maysoon. It's a nightmare. The housing situation in the Bay Area is a nightmare.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's hard. It's hard to stay here when there's other places where it's not like this.
Yeah.
Although it's getting more and more like this all over the
everywhere.
Country.
Jimbo was saying that a friend of his sister, sold their place in fucking Idaho or something for like $500,000-$600,000 in Idaho.
In Boise?
In the middle, literally in the middle. No, like in the country, like not even just, you know.
What the fuck?
Just like a farmhouse, like, but not anything fancy, big deal. And certainly not like just outside of like, it's not like upstate New York or something, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like it feels like the whole country has gone insane because all the fucking rich techies have left the cities and they're like, let's buy a farmhouse out here where we can work from home.
It's not just techies, man. It's not just techies. I don't think it's people. I don't think it's people. Oh. I think it's speculators. I think there's nonsense insanity going on. I think there's international speculation. I don't think that these houses are being bought by human beings. I think they're being bought by weird conglomerates. I think the Illuminati is involved. I think there's algorithms and bots happening. you know, I actually have been watching a couple different realtors on YouTube that are in different parts of the country. Okay. And they're talking about how it just doesn't make any sense what's going on. First-time home buyers are being completely shut out of the market.
Totally shut out.
That's aside from the rental catastrophe. You know, I mean, obviously you got to have... I mean, we don't ever want to talk about housing without saying, like, fuck landlords and fuck our fucking capitalist bullshit exploitation sausage grinder that's fucking everyone down to dust.
Yeah.
But anyhow, these motherfucking real estate people are saying that it's the market now is like they've never seen before. It's got to be a bubble. It can't last like this forever. Not to mention with all the forbearance, you know, the people that haven't been making payments because of the economic collapse from the pandemic and how that, you know, that grace period is about to run out.
Yeah. It runs out in, I think, June, end of June.
Jimbo
just read today online in the Chronicle that I don't remember if they're called supervisors or council people in San Jose, but there's a politician in San Jose who's trying to tighten the, is trying to change the restrictions or tighten the restrictions around the Ellis Act.
Oh, yeah.
So that, because the Ellis Act is really kind of built for like individual landlords, not for these like investor groups, you know, like these corporations. Yes. And they're basically they haven't been specified or they haven't been it's basically working for both groups equally, and it really shouldn't be. So there's this supervisor in San Jose who's trying to change the rules around the Ellis Act so that corporations can't come in and evict people for their own profits.
Yes.
Which I think is great.
Oh god. That's a good thing. I think they've been working in San Francisco. The supervisors in San Francisco have been trying to allot money for free public housing.
Oh, really? That's great.
Built by the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been seeing Matt Haney talking about it on Twitter a bunch. All right, Mason, let's get right down to brass tacks here because you know what's happening.
Well, yeah, there's so much happening. What are you talking about? I was going to say one other thing you don't like talking about usually is when you're showing work. And so I was going to quickly pop in here and that
okay.
Kate Rhodes has is doing the next billboard for Premier Junior, our 6x12-foot billboard.
Yep, it's up.
In San Francisco's Inner Sunset. Yep. And it's called, the billboard says, Meet Me on the Hill at Dawn. And it's, what is it? You can meet Kate.
That's correct.
You can meet Kate on, which hill is it, Kate?
Grandview Park.
Grandview Park at dawn every Sunday in April and May. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Kate's going
to
be.
I might have to miss one day in May, but I'm going to have a surrogate there.
Yeah, have someone else there. Kate's going to be giving maybe the first person who meets her there a little prize, a little gift, a little something.
A treasure.
So Dawn, what time is Dawn? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Is that like 5 or is that like 6?
I think Dawn is at 6:30.
Okay, so it's going to be pretty early. Sunday, pretty early. I mean, I just want to warn everyone that that's early.
I got to tell you, Maysoon, I will have a treasure every time.
I love
it. But it will only go to the first person to meet me.
Oh my God.
That
how
day.
Big is this hill?
So I do have more than one treasure because I do feel it was confusing how I said it in my video about it. So I'm going to just have a treasure every dawn. There will be a treasure. It's like Survivor where when you find the immunity idol.
I love it.
They replace it with a new one, but only one a day.
Okay, only one a day. So get there early, get there maybe a little bit before dawn, and look for Kate and just run her down. Get that treasure.
Yes, but stay far
from
me.
Is it all about the treasure, or is it really just about you? Oh, yeah, we can't be close.
What is it about? I have no idea what it's about, Maysoon.
Will the treasure come together into a larger story?
I don't know. Like what? Like, is the treasure going to be a treasure map where you have to go across every hill?
Is it treasure?
You go to every hill in San Francisco and meet another person named Kate with a different key.
Oh my God. Is this your first Sunday coming up?
Yeah, this Sunday.
Are you nervous?
Nervous about what?
What if
literally
a bunch of weirdos
no
come
one
out
is going
to
see
come
you? Me soon.
Uh-uh.
Nope.
People are definitely
not one
come.
Soul.
Okay, first of all, we can probably guarantee that Zoe and Sarah might be there for your first Sunday, but they can't.
They're
get
not
the treasure,
coming, Maysoon. No one's coming. It's at dawn.
I'm going to come on my birthday.
I think kind of part of it is a Maybe. Joke about art openings and art things. You know, like how every alternative art space is open for like 10 minutes, like once every 3 months.
Wait, what do you mean?
You know, like, remember the underbed gallery?
Kind of.
We used to talk, I mean, before the pandemic. Like, the pandemic's slowed things down across the board. But back in the day when people had regular hours and it wasn't all by appointment, it would be like, oh, yeah, Johnny Johnerson just opened a new gallery under his bed. It's open from 3:30 to 3:32 every leap day.
I kind of love that.
So that's maybe it's funny. A little bit of a joke on that, kind of, in my mind anyway. Okay, Maysoon, but what I really...
What do you think... Wait, and how far is Grandview Park from
Very close.
Like, it's like the park that's right there.
Yeah, it's the closest hill.
I love it. I really hope you get some total randos who are like, I just wanted to see if this was the hill. I just showed up because I saw that billboard.
Well, even if that doesn't happen, Maysoon, I'll say that it did. Okay, Maysoon, we've got a big fundraiser happening. The lab is having their dance-a-thon.
Yes! I'm super excited about it and also kind of scared about it, but I'm really into it.
Why are you scared?
I'm not scared because I'm scared because I'm trying to determine if I want to enter the actual dance-a-thon as a dancer.
Oh, well, you have to.
Well, no, it says donate or join as a dancer. So it seems like you can just donate and
no,
just join.
No, you have to do it, Maysoon, because you're a dancer.
Oh, you mean me. I have to do it, not just one.
Yes. No, you, Maysoon, Waz.
The thing is,
I'm
incredibly competitive. So I feel like if I decide to join as a dancer, I'm probably going to do the whole 12 hours.
Yeah, do it. I love that.
That's not
okay, Maysoon, you got to do it, okay?
I don't...
Just do it.
It's definitely happening in the back of my brain. I feel like I need to get a bunch of props organized because dancing for that long, it can only happen with a million props at the ready.
Yeah, you got to mix it up for yourself. But can I say...
you got to mix it up. You got to make it fun.
A few of the people involved include Brontez Purnell, Phonique, Matt Mose, The Garbage Man, Alejandro Cohen,
Peaches Christ. It's going to be amazing.
Peaches Christ, Disco Stan, and so many, many more. Also, Dan Deacon. Didn't I know a Dan Deacon who was a comedian back in Portland?
I don't know Dan Deacon, but I think it's a stellar name.
No, you know what? I think that guy's name was Dan Duncan. But anyhow, it's going to be from dusk till dawn, starting April 10th at 7:30 to April 11th at 7:30 a.m. So that's 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., in the 1930s, hours-long dancing competitions were an opportunity to be fed and sheltered amidst a severe economic depression.
Wow.
Often running for more than 24 hours, the events quickly escalated from a quirky gimmick born in the Roaring Twenties to an exploitive entertainment phenomenon for Americans desperate for free entertainment and a chance at winning big.
Wow.
But when San Francisco nonprofit The Lab hosts their 12-hour virtual dance-a-thon next month, they'll be turning the tables on a nearly 100-year tradition. Participants in the dance marathon taking place from April 10th to April 11th aren't only competing for prizes, they're also raising money so that The Lab can continue supporting artists who have struggled amidst the pandemic. We love The Lab. Everybody dance or donate. There's a link in the underworld. Raise some money, do some good for The Lab. We love The Lab.
That's great.
Don't want to come out of the pandemic with The Lab gone.
Yeah, God, no. Please don't.
We want to try to keep as much stuff as we can, right, everybody?
Agreed. I love it.
Okay, Maysoon, what else?
I feel like this sort of the show at SFAI open kind of in, not maybe not in secret, but it feels like it sort of opened in secret to me. I was like, oh, it's already open. It's the 150th year celebration or exhibition about SF, 150 year of SFAI exhibition called The Spirit of Disruption. And it's an archive and not just archive show, but the curator, curated by Margaret Tedesco and Layla Wifwe. They dug into the deep archive of the school and also invited artists to exhibit work. And it looks amazing. I haven't seen it yet. I just was sort of looking at it recently. But it's open on the 19th and it's on view through July 3rd. And I believe there's also a podcast that they made in conjunction with the exhibition, which I'm always, you know, love that idea. You can make an appointment online at sfaa.edu and go check it out. I'm excited about it.
I really like in that Margaret and Layla were approaching it thinking of what artists have been missing from the kind of like often repeated lineage of SFAI artists. Because I feel like you always hear about the like white guy, new genres guys, yes, and the connection to like all these big dudes from like the WPA time and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they got into artists that have been underrepresented in that history. I remember there were many times at SFAI when the fucking some douchebag, you know, would come out like Gordon Knox. I mean, God bless Gordon Knox. He really got thrown under the bus when everything went wrong there. But he would come out during the pre-college, like, graduation day, like the last day of the pre-college program in the summer.
Yeah.
And go on and on about how the fucking guy who did Mount Rushmore.
Oh, no.
The guy who did Mount Rushmore went to SFAI. And that's, like, a fucking atrocity.
Yeah. That seems very...
Leave him out. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so also the McAvoy Foundation, they have their show, Lessons of the Hour, is still up. It's up through April 24th. Yeah. That's just a few more weeks to see Isaac Julian's immersive film installation, Lessons of the Hour, Frederick Douglass, which was made in 2019. And they have expanded their viewing hours now.
Oh, good.
From Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., you do have to get a reservation. But they also have, you can walk up and get an appointment.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I had an appointment.
Check that out there over there on Minnesota Street.
I had an appointment, and then I couldn't, I had it for like Thursday at 11 a.m., and I was just like too slammed at work to leave in the middle of the day, but I do want to see that show as well. It's been up for ages.
Well, now you can get a walk-up thing.
A walk-up. I'll probably go ahead and schedule it. I think I gave a shout-out to this before, but I just want to say the Institute of the Arts and Sciences at UC Santa Cruz is doing an incredible series on abolition. And
yes,
it's just they just have a stellar lineup of panel discussions with incredible people, and including some like Bay Area folks that we know, artists that we know, and local, non-local, international folks. I just want to really encourage people to go check that out. I think they're really doing some great work. It's just exciting to see an art school kind of focusing on these sorts of questions, you know? Check out their webpage, ias.ucsc.edu.
I want to go down to Santa Cruz. The weather's been so nice.
Oh, the weather's been fucking crazy. So good.
Walk around in the forest. Okay, Slash Gallery's got their show up. They moved, huh?
I guess so. I just saw that announcement that isn't it Juana who's curated the current show there?
Yes, Juana Barrio is leaving the Bay Area. Leaving the Bay Area. Everyone.
I know, it's so surprising, but exciting.
Play the song, Maysoon.
what's the song? Should I just start humming?
We should have a song whenever someone moves away. We play this song. No, they're not graduating.
It's kind of playing the music.
I think we should play I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Aww.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill.
Remember how it goes.
Let's say a hearty salute to Juana Berrio. She will surely be back because Anthony Hoverman's still going to be here.
I love that she kind of addressed all of those questions in her announcement. She's like oh my God.
Climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air, but I don't care, my love.
So crazy, but so true.
And congratulations to Juana Berrio on your new appointment as doing stuff in New York City. Okay, but in the meantime, you can go to Slash Gallery, which is now at 1150 25th Street, Building B in San Francisco. So you can head over there and see...
Wait, sorry, say that again? Where are they? They're on 25th Street?
They're in San Francisco. They're at 1150 25th Street, Building B.
Do they have a cross street?
They didn't say a cross street, no. But I'm guessing it's like right inside your apartment.
That I'd be like, oh, hi. There they are, just down the hall. No.
And weren't you wondering who all those people were?
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, that means I can go really easily. I have no excuses now.
No excuse. So go check out their show, Arboreal, which is up now, and it will be up until June 26th.
Okay, good.
And it includes such artists as Ayo Kubo, a.k.a. Wilson Rodriguez, Bill Fontana, Helen Mirra, Dulcie Morelos, Emerson Uyra, hope I'm saying your name right, very sorry to everyone, and Cecilia Vicuña, and curated by Juana Berrio. And I believe this show is about, oh wait, it says what it's about. It's about trees. It's about trees, guys. It's way got a lot more conceptual underpinning than that, but just the headline, trees. So check it out.
Main takeaway,
1150, trees. Right. 1150 25th Street.
I wanted to give a little shout, not a shout out, but like a little, make sure everyone knows about the guaranteed income pilot program that
All right, here we go. What's up?
I got nothing to say about it other than...
What's London Bree trying to do now?
It's launching by... Through the city, YBCA is administering the grants. It is kind of like a universal basic income, except for it's not, but that's sort of what they're sort of modeling it off after. And it will be giving away, I believe, 130 grants at $1,000... how do you say it? 6 months... each at $1,000 per month. So $6,000 in total to 130 grantees. Got it?
Okay, now Maysoon, why are we calling this UBI and not just a grant?
We're not calling, it's not being called UBI because it's not UBI. It's they're calling it guaranteed income. I think because...
Yeah, but why are they... I think it's just a grant.
Well, it is a grant except for they're, I think you're getting a check, you're getting six checks basically, so it's coming at you like income versus like a grant, which is income, but it's usually just one lump sum.
Sounds and sketch.
I mean, I don't actually know why they're. It's not sketchy.
It
sounds I just think
sketch.
It's,
I mean, yes, get you're right. It. Everyone, guys, apply and get that money for sure. Nothing against that, but sounds sketch.
What's sketchy about it? I mean, yeah, what's sketchy about it? What do you think?
I feel like what they've said about it is that they're comparing it to UBI.
That is true.
Universal basic income. Right. The difference being it's not universal.
Because it's only for 130 people and only for artists.
And just a tiny sliver of artists.
Right.
And it's only 6 months. I don't know. It just, there's something doesn't feel, I don't know. I mean, God bless. Artists should have money.
Yeah.
For sure, but the idea of UBI is that everyone gets a guaranteed basic income.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I definitely have, at this point, I am speaking as an individual named Maysoon Wazwaz and not as a representative.
Do we need to get Shannon in?
Not as a representative.
Should we hear from Shannon?
I don't think so. Do we? Okay. And let me just finish what I'm saying. I'm not speaking as a representative of the San Francisco Arts Commission or of the City and County of San Francisco or of Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. I represent neither of those organizations in this moment. Just to be really, really clear about it. But I do feel like they shouldn't have used the term UBI. I just feel like that's very misleading. This is definitely, I agree with you that this definitely feels more like a grant. I don't know why they are not specifying that it's a grant. It's being administered as grants are usually administered. I think they're just trying to frame it as something different and more exciting and more like, you know, a monthly income versus a specialized grant where you have to have a program, like a project, like a project-based grant. This is just sort of like money for artists, is my understanding.
Yeah, so, it's just no matter what they do, guys, never trust any politicians.
But you should apply for this. Or go ahead and read the guidelines, the application guidelines. Application closes on April 15th, so you only really have a couple weeks now to apply. You have 15 days. So get to it. I think the application's actually pretty simple. I sort of looked through a bunch of the pages just to get a sense of the questions that they were asking and how difficult it would be to sort of fill it out.
I'll put a link in the underworld, everybody.
Good luck, everyone. Let us know if you get it. Let us know if you had any questions or any confusion around applying or just the project itself.
Or if you just have opinions about this, yeah. Give us a call. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
What was the other thing?
Mason. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, Berkeley Arts and Design, they are having their Monday things.
What the hell is Monday things?
They got Mondays and Tuesdays every day.
Every week they got Mondays and Tuesdays over at Berkeley, you guys. Can you believe it?
Okay, look here, Maysoon. Thursday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, a.k.a., they are having some kind of thing.
Okay, well, help us know what the thing is. My goodness, Kate.
They're having
PhD in journalism is really flailing right now.
I know. My PhD is just deflating. No. Okay, Maysoon.
Yes.
Here's the deal. They are having a thing on April 1st called Transnational Feminism Across Media Forms. I believe this is going to be a conversation with Shirin Nashat. And then a response from Stuart Comer. You know, they're doing all their fun stuff over there at Berkeley. You know what they do.
Oh, it's cracking me up. Okay. All right.
You know. Okay. Here's the thing about Mondays. And Mondays are having...
Sorry.
They have their Monday things at 6:30, like unusual Mondays.
I sincerely don't know what you're talking about.
They have a series on Mondays. So, for example... On April 5th, on Monday, they're going to have a conversation with Norman Foster, Vishan Chakrabarty, and John King. And that's online and free, and you can listen up.
Okay.
On Monday, April 12th, they're going to have Black Girls, Black Voices, Black History with Real Violet Botts Ward, Zachary McRae, and Rashid Shabazz. Okay, so that's going to be 6:30. These are all free things. Anyone can tune in. On April 19th, they're going to have Black Wednesday Wall Reimagined. I believe that's something to do with the architectural feature there on the Berkeley campus. Okay. On Monday, April 26th, they're going to have Monumental Part 2 with Lava Thomas and Kenyatta Hinkle.
Oh, I want to go to that.
Okay, that's going to be a great one not to miss. So that's Monday, April 26th at 6:30. These are all at 6:30. And then on Monday, May 3rd, Experiments in Joy, A Black Feminist Trajectory. And all these things are online, and you can see all about it at artsdesign.berkeley.edu. You can get all the information much more coherently than you heard it from me.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't wait for, like, to be able to go to... I know this is so silly, and I hardly even went before the pandemic, but...
Just to be able to go...
I want to go to, like, talks and
stuff. To places in person. And,
yeah, and, like, sit in a room and feel uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, and to, like, see people. maybe, you know.
Yeah, and get mad at the guy making the ice buckets clang outside the door.
All the things, all the in-person experiences.
Oh, holy shit, Maysoon. What about Mills?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Big news, Mills is destroyed.
No, don't say it like that. People are really upset. I mean, I know, obviously.
I know. Well, okay. But guys, Mills is like, I'm pretty sure what's happening, right, Maysoon, is like, first they announce that they're no longer offering degree programs, yes, and then they're winding
down. They're finishing out the current.
And and for as much as I'm sure people are very upset by that, I do feel that they handled it better than SFAI did. Mm-hmm.
As far as being able to wind it down, yeah, and not just be like, we don't know what to do.
Well, and announcing it in a coherent manner. Yes. And then, sure enough, I know that the Alumni Association is really, like, having a major, protest campaign to stop the school from closing.
Yeah. Yes, I saw some.
But in the meantime.
Do you know anything about when and where those protests are happening? I did see a few references or mentions of that on Instagram, but didn't make note
of that. Yeah, I know they had a rally at the gate, at the front gate of Mills, and they have an Instagram account for Save Mills and stuff they're organizing.
Yeah, let's put some links in the underworld our listeners.
I mean, in the meantime, they did another announcement that they are going to partner with UC Berkeley, and that now UC Berkeley is going to have some kind of like cultural impact programming there now.
They're at Mills.
I mean, this is what I heard before all this. Yeah, this is what I heard before all this was announced, was that the UC was going to absorb Mills. And that there was going to be some part of Mills inside of that called the Mills Institute, which would stay, like, you know, some kind of vestigial organ of Mills. Mm-hmm. And that would be, like, art departments and stuff would be inside of that.
It sounds, I mean, what I heard from a faculty member at Mills is that it sounds like Berkeley was sending some people over, I don't know who, to sort of like look at the campus, get a sense of like what programs are offered. So they're basically looking at like what programs are offered at Mills that aren't offered at Berkeley. And I think they're probably going to try to absorb those programs or keep those programs and somehow absorb the other programs and hopefully some of the faculty. But I mean, it's a huge undertaking, and it's not going to be pretty no matter which way you look at it. It also sounds like,
oh no, people are going to lose their jobs.
It's definitely going to be a pretty nasty moment time for people at Mills, and it's horrible. And I don't know what to do. It's just, the whole thing is shitty and awful, and it's really sad to see that school in a situation like this. After so many years and after so much struggle keeping it like an all women's school and. You know, just all of the things, all of its history.
That was a big part of the announcement.
Yeah.
Was that it would be all genders.
Right, right. And it sounds like also supposedly Berkeley is also really excited, or, you know, they're looking at it for campus or for student housing. Because I think that's something Berkeley has struggled with. I don't know. So there's a way that they're trying to, and I imagine it'll be like Berkeley at Mills, you know, or something like that. Like they'll probably still keep, I don't know. I don't know if it's even possible to save it. Like, I don't know if people who are protesting are trying to save Mills as an independent school or what. It just feels like they've been in such a huge financial deficit for so long that I just don't know. I don't know. I don't want to be like a negative Nancy, because it's such an incredible school and there's been so many incredible students and faculty that have been there. That's so sad to lose
true.
That legacy.
That's true.
Not lose it.
I have to say though, I am a Mills alum, so I can climb all the way up to the top of my high horse, and then put another horse on that horse and get to an even higher horse, and then I do feel that it's just there needs to be a reconfiguration of what college is. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be this expensive. Mm-hmm. And that was never a sustainable model for people to go into so much debt. Even though, I mean, Mills relatively to other like liberal arts schools and stuff wasn't the biggest offender in that regard. But like this, it just can't go on this way. So something needs to change. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it.
Oh, it's just they're such big problems that are overwhelming to me, unfortunately. I wish they weren't. I wish I had, like, this is what we need to do.
Let's break it down. Well, fortunately, Maysoon, we don't have to fix all of them.
I know, but don't you want to?
Well, but you and me only have to fix most of them, not all of them.
And speaking of fixing problems, okay. I wanted to give a shout out to this organization called Holla Back. That has a bystander. Okay. They have a bystander intervention training.
Oh, yes.
And a colleague of mine at the Arts Commission mentioned it in a meeting, and I've already signed up. They have a couple, it's like a part one and part two training, and it's to really kind of like, you know, to show up when people in public space or when people are being harassed, and harassment in all forms, whether it's verbal or physical harassment, how to sort of like help shift the attention or to help that person who's in harm's way. And it seems... I've heard great things about the training, and I just want to encourage people to sign up and to be active, just to be active, you know, on the streets, on public transit, wherever you are, to really sort of to be able to step up if you can and when you can. So they're called Holla Back, and it is, it's probably hollaback.com, but we will put a link in the underworld.
Love it. Yeah, right alongside that, speaking of, you know, taking things into the community's hands rather than, you know, other avenues.
Yeah.
The Anti-Police Terror Project Yay. Has their MH First, aka Mental Health First program, where instead of having the police respond to mental health crises, there are trained mental health volunteers and professionals sent out to deal with mental health crises in the community. And so because of that and the success of that program, the APTP is calling on everyone in Oakland to get in contact with your city council member and tell them to reallocate police money to community services that actually keep us safe. I believe there's going to be a vote in Oakland City Council on like April 20th or April 21st around the police budget. So get in contact with your city council member before then and let them know what you think about it. And if you want more information, I'll have all the links in the underworld.
Cool. That's great. I love
APTP. And if you want to call that, yes, and if you are around someone having a mental health crisis and you want a number to call, the APTP's MH First hotline is open on Friday and Saturday nights from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. So from 8 to 8.
Oh, that is amazing. And you so can, the hours that need to be open. That's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so you can give them a call at 510-999-9. That's four nines, okay? Let me just say it all again. 510-999-9MH1. Great. That's four nines. And so you can get non-police crisis response.
That's great.
And hopefully that program can expand. And hopefully, you know, if we get our fucking city council on the right track, it can be, you know, this can be something that our tax money is going to, you know, not necessarily the APTP's program, but a similar, you know, similar non-police responses for mental health crises. Because I believe they just put out, like, the APTP just recently put out, like, a breakdown of what most 911 calls in Oakland are about, like, mm-hmm. why people are calling. Mm-hmm. And such a tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of those are things that the public actually wants someone with, like, a fucking
firearm,
a police officer.
Yeah.
Something where they need a cop to come. Like, it's, yeah. it was some, like, tiny, I think even, like, a single digit percentage of stuff. I think the biggest, like, the one biggest piece of that pie was, like, noise complaints.
Really? Oh, that's so fucking annoying.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. I fucking hate that.
Get over it.
Yeah. Totally get over it.
I mean, if it's like the fucking barbecue Becky shit where people are getting mad about drum circles and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just want to be like, be a fucking better neighbor. You know what I mean? Like, if you have to call the fucking police on your neighbors, like, there's a problem. Like, you're not part of the neighborhood, or you're like, I don't, not that it's yeah, completely your fault, but like,
talking, did you try chatting?
Talk to your neighbor, have a relationship with your fucking neighbors, like, get in it. Like, you know, I don't know.
Although,
like,
I gotta say, Maysoon, there's a house two doors.
Yeah, go ahead.
I gotta say, though, Maysoon, there's a house two doors down from my apartment building over here.
Yes.
And they had a wood chipper going on Tuesday morning that was shaking our entire building.
Fargo.
They were like, oh, no. I know, that's what I was thinking too, but it was definitely, they were taking like, down a tree.
Oh, okay, shit.
And it felt like it was going on for days.
But at least you know there's like a beginning and end, right? Eventually the tree's going to be down and chipped.
Yeah, they're not like growing more trees just to keep that thing running. Yeah.
I feel like over here we had like after 5 o'clock for the like all of last week, there was a fucking jackhammer outside our back door because they're doing construction on this building across the alley. And it's sort of like every day at 5 o'clock, they fucking start jackhammering the street. Like, what the hell? Couldn't you do that during the day?
Why can't they just like, put the fucking jackhammer inside a sock so it's quiet?
Yeah, exactly. Can't they get it together? Why aren't those machines built with, I guess they need to be loud so that people fucking know they're there.
Like a like a noise suppressor.
Yeah.
Someday.
Someday. I just wanted to give a shout out to Sarah Hotchkiss, one of my favorite people in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. Yes. And her recent review of the Vincent van Gogh immersive van Gogh experience that Kate and I spoke about a few weeks ago, yes, or a month ago. And the title, the article is called Why Did I Go, as in G-O-G-H. It's like the worst and so hysterical. But I want to give a shout out to her, yes, and her, what'd she say? Her inadvertent snort.
Yeah, the nasal honk.
The nasal honk that she let out. She basically hated it. Basically,
okay, but we do have to give a disclaimer, Maysoon, that was published in our enemy publication, KQED.
KQED, you're going down.
So we do renounce, we renounce and denounce KQED, but go ahead.
But not Sarah.
No, not at all.
Never Sarah. It's not personal.
No, it doesn't bounce back onto Sarah, our denunciation.
Anyhow, I feel sort of victorious in that her experience was as miserable and awkward as I felt like my experience would be if I ever went. So that's all.
Yes, you were very affirmed there.
Yeah. I also like...
Did you find yourself vindicated?
I did in reading this, yes. I also like that she was... That in her article, she talks about how museums can often, you know, what's like sort of elitist, or they're too expensive for people to go to, you know, and that this kind of immersive thing maybe is geared towards like the lay person, anyone who wants to just experience something. It's a little less like high brow or whatever. But then she went in to say, but then the tickets are $40 to $100. So it's sort of like you're actually spending a ton of money there as well. So it's just sort of like, you know, it's just interesting. Whatever. It's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, okay. Also not really affordable.
Yeah, when you can get into SF MoMA for free if you just laminate your own fake press pass.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. You heard it from Kate first. I didn't say anything about it.
Fantastic. Okay, Maysoon. Well, I feel like considering everything that's going on, we definitely made another episode.
Incredible. I don't know how we do it.
And I'm going to be laminating this episode from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.